I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We are blessed to be here one more time. And God has been good, gave us traveling mercies and allowed us to get here in time to eat and to fellowship with you, the people of Shiloh, in celebration of this 15th anniversary. Why don't you put your hands together and give God the best hand clap you have? I want to take this opportunity to applaud you, Shiloh, for taking the time to honor your pastor and his family for these 15 years of service. Amen. To our worship leader and to all of the clergy in the house, and to the Reverend Michelle Bazin, who presented me on today, to all the pastors that I see and Church of God family, it's a blessing to see you here on today. Amen. And I'm glad to be in Trenton again. Now, Shiloh, you must have a place in my heart. Last year, I made a commitment, and I told your pastor not to take afternoon services anymore. And so I really have not done hardly any traveling. This is the first time we've traveled this year in the afternoon. And when he reached out and gave me the options of coming throughout the weeknight and he said, and Sunday is open. Last year we came on a weeknight, and I said, well, you know, it's a little hard push for us to make it from Englewood during the week, so I said, well, we'll take the Sunday afternoon. And then Reverend Michelle Bazin reached out to me some time ago and for next Sunday afternoon. And I was like, no, 2 weeks in a row, that's a bit much. Now, mind you, I used to run all the time, but I'm a little older now, and I just don't feel like it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ain't got nothing to do with prayer and God and vision, and I just don't feel like it. I feel like doing what y'all do, go to morning service and go home. Amen, amen. Plus, the Lord just kind of ministered to me, and I'll share some things even here, about pastoring my own church. And that there's some things you cannot do with your flock if you're constantly on the road. That any shepherd that's always out tending other folks' sheep will find that while other folks' flocks are getting healthier, his flock is getting weaker because he or she is out giving themselves to others and basically bringing leftovers, if anything, back home. And the Lord said, you know, and I've learned this in my growth. Our tradition, our African-American tradition, Pastor, have us moving around on Sunday afternoons, swapping pulpits. And that's wonderful, and it was great back in the day. It was a fundraiser. It was the way we connected with the community. But if you're going to do justice to the people that prayed you there, I'm preaching already, see? There were some folk, there was a people called Shiloh that prayed you here, brought you here, gave you an opportunity before you blew up. Watch this, and after you blow up, everybody wants you. But I remind my people all the time that I didn't come to Englewood because the school board brought me there. And we may have some board members here. Just stay with me. I didn't come to Englewood because the town council brought me there. And I know we have council members and folk like that here too, but stay with me. I came to Inglewood because a pulpit was vacant. And the council didn't seat me when the chairs were vacant. And the school board didn't come get me when the superintendent's seat was available. But when the church needed a pastor, they prayed. And the Lord said, Lester, and they brought me to Inglewood, not to take care of everybody else and neglect them, but to preach the gospel at home. Because guess what? If you feed the folk in the house, then they will go out and impact everybody else in the community. Y'all with me here? And so I've learned over the... So I've kind of slowed down, but y'all got this one in. And we're glad to be here on a Sunday afternoon. We are winding down because starting the second Sunday of April, we'll begin our third service. And we're beginning an evening service for those who work during the day or work at night and cannot make a morning service. And so we're beginning the third service called Fresh Expressions. And the purpose of Fresh Expressions is not so that those who come in the morning can just have another service to come to, but we're trying to reach a different population. The population that is not in church at all because they can't be there during our traditional morning hours. And that's going to take me off the road altogether. But God says, you know, build up, till the ground where I planted you. Amen. Work that area. And I'm talking where there is no vision, the people perish. And I was amazed this afternoon when y'all said, let's stand and sing the hymn of the day. And the hymn was Right the Vision. I mean, Right the Vision. There's a powerful statement there that all of us need vision. Amen. Some of us have been around Shiloh a long time. And in your mind, you've been there and done that. But I'm here to tell you, as long as there's breath in your body, there's some more you can do. Can I talk to y'all for a minute? I get so sick and tired of old people trying to act like they old. Look at them. So look at, just look around. Look around the room. You got my permission. Find somebody that look old acting, trying to act like they old. You know how they do. Child, I done my work. I've been here a long time and I'm just moving on out the way for some of these young peoples to come on up and take over. No, 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 no. In the economy of God, you don't move out the way. In the economy of God, you grab somebody's hand and you pour into them. And listen, if you've really done a good job, number one, you're not intimidated when new people show up. That's number one. Secondly, when you see new folk coming in, that's your opportunity to empty yourself into somebody else. Miles Monroe says, we ought not die full, we ought to die empty. And see, God has a wonderful way of keeping his church going. He says, I need some old people and I need some young people. I need some old people because they tired, but they got wisdom, they know what to do. And I need some young people, they're a little stupid and crazy, but they got some strength. And they got a whole lot of zeal. And if I can partner some young people with strength and hook them up with some old people with wisdom, then together we will get the job done. Do I have a witness in the house? So get your cane and get your liniment and get your Bengay and put in your teeth, make sure they're in tight and do all that and push yourself on out here and snatch up some of these young crazy folk running around and quit talking about them. Don't put them out the church. You're going to need them. Bring them on in and hook them under your arm and pour into them. And you watch Shiloh blow up even more than it has. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what God has in store for them that love them. But he has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Fifteen years is not a place where you get complacent. It's not a time where you sit back and say, well, you know, we've done good. No, it's just halfway. You're just shifting gears. There's more to be done after 15 years. Lord willing, let me see tomorrow. I will celebrate 22 years at Community Baptist Church. And I celebrate that, and I celebrate you and your family, and I praise God. You've been here and preaching all weekend, and I know that most of you are saying, now, please, Lord, don't let this be a long sermon. I know you are. You've been hearing sermons. I mean, at some point, how much more word can you take? Like the preacher was preaching one day, and he invited a friend to come listen to him preach, and he started preaching in the middle of the sermon. His friend got up and walked out. And when he saw his friend later on, he said, man, I was preaching. You got right up in the middle of the sermon and walked out. Where'd you go? He said, man, I went to get a haircut. He said, you went to get a haircut? He said, how come you didn't get one before you came to church? He said, I didn't need one before I came. So I'm going to make sure that nobody had to get up and get your hair cut today. Thank our choir and thank our church for traveling with us. We've been in worship since this choir, most of them have been singing since 8 o'clock this morning. And our musicians and our servers, we've been out all day. And so I thank them for their kindness and their presence here today. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He writes to that second letter, and he mentions some things, and if I may not read, but he says in the second letter, fourth chapter, some of you are familiar with that, and it's the passage where he talks about we're troubled on every side. That fourth chapter of Second Corinthians. I love the way it reads, verse 1, he says, for we know, sorry, let me say, these are technical forms here, amen, trying to be techie. I was preaching somewhere, and I had my iPad for the first time, and I was trying to use it, didn't know much about it, didn't know that if you don't keep your hand on it, it'll go black on you. I'm at this Pentecostal conference, and they brought me down to Virginia, so I had my iPad, and I'm just going on, you know, and started walking around, and I went to look at that thing, it was black. I said to myself, oh God, help me here. Amen, amen, and I finally figured it out. Keep your hand on the pad, you know. 2 Corinthians 4 says, therefore, verse 1, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. New Living Translation. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is only hidden from the people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god, small g, of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Key verse. You see, we don't go around preaching ourselves. We preach Jesus. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. That's the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Pastor, you've been preaching here 15 years. You've heard a lot of sermons this week. I just want to simply be the old-fashioned preacher and preach from the subject, keep on talking about Jesus. I love Paul's letters. Paul's letters are Christological. They focus on the believer as he or she finds his or her position in Christ. For Paul, it's all about being in Christ. He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When he writes to the church at Ephesus, he says, I thank God for us because we have been chosen in him before the foundation of the world was laid, and that through his blood we have redemption, forgiveness of sin. And we've been seated in every heavenly places and blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And because of Christ, we who were far off have been brought nigh, and we who had no hope have some hope. And he said, don't think you did it on your own. It's by grace through faith that we've been saved. And we who were separated are now one in the body of Christ. For through his blood sacrifice, he has torn down the middle wall of partition, the wall that had us separated. And he has brought us one into this glorious body. When he writes to the church at Colossae, he talks about the preeminence of Christ, how Christ is before all things, in all things. He's above all things, through all things. That Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. That if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus Christ. For it pleased God that in him the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in bodily form. That if God be poured out in Christ, and if Christ is the visible image of an invisible God, and if Christ is preeminence, that means he's before all things, then that means before he was, he was. And even after, he'll still be there. And since he's the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, it suggests that whatever is in God is in Christ. So if God is omniscient, Christ is omniscient. God is omnipotent, Christ is omnipotent. If God is all-knowing, Christ is all-knowing. If God is immutable, Christ is also immutable. Whatever is in God is in Christ. And we call that the great hypostatic union. Christ is 100% God and 100% man. And his humanity does not compromise his divinity. And his divinity does not diminish his humanity. That's why in the wilderness he could be tested and hungry and weak, because he was humanity. But when Satan comes to tempt him, he can resist him with the word of God, because he's also divinity. Do I have a witness? And so when Paul writes to the church at Corinth, the first letter is a letter of rebuke, a letter of instruction, a letter correcting some bad behavior, because from time to time, church folks can demonstrate bad behavior. I know not in Trenton, but up in Englewood, where I come from, church folks up there need Jesus. They can demonstrate some bad behavior. Not the folk behind me, but not even the folk that came with me on this trip, but the folk that we left at home. They can demonstrate some bad behavior. I mean, they may have church membership, but they don't always act like Christians. I don't know about here, but I got folk that will sit on this side of the church because they don't want to speak to somebody sitting on that side of the church. Don't demonstrate Christ-like behavior. Some of them are awful enough to even have a partial treatment, preferred treatment. Certain folk they speak to, and other folk they look over. I know you don't know nobody like that. It's interesting that some people are so full of themselves, they don't even come to church on time. They don't come to church on time because they've been spoiled by the church they go to. They think that they have reserved seating because they have titles and positions. And so while the sinners are trying to get their own time to get a word, the privileged church folks sashay in when they get good and ready. And they expect their front seats to be open and available. And so Paul had the right to correct some incorrect behavior among the believers. That's his first letter. And when he rebuked them for their bad behavior, they sent word back saying, what gives you the authority? You know, church folk will rise up on you. Not y'all, but some other folk I know. They'll rise up on you when you find them where they live. Come on, when you walk down their street and knock on their door, and when you tell it like a TIS is, church folk will rise up on you. When they've been stuck in tradition for a long time, and you're trying to bring progressive ministry that breaks yokes and destroys bondages and shifts and transforms people's lives, some people will rise up against you because that's not the way we've always done it. And this is how we used to do it, and this is how we do it here at Shiloh. And they don't recall that Shiloh is not the people's church, but it's God's church. And when I read the word, God speaks the word to Peter and said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Next time somebody rise up talking about what can't happen in their church, you open your Bible and see if you can find a scripture where they died for the church. And if you can't find the name of a Negro that died for the church, then tell that Negro to sit down and let Christ be Christ. It's the Lord's church. I said, this is the Lord's church. I said, this is the Lord's church. I said again, this is the Lord's church. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I will enter that gate, so Jerusalem. And I'm so glad that I know this is the Lord's church. And so they rose up against Paul, and he writes a second letter defending his apostolic authority. And he says, I want to tell y'all something. When I came to you, I didn't come with fancy speaking. I didn't come with eloquence of speech. I didn't try to trick you with my words. I didn't try to manipulate you. I didn't try to evoke emotion. But I came preaching Christ and him crucified. So I've stuck with the same story. Every time you see me, I say the same thing. Jesus and him crucified. I don't care if you catch me on Monday, I talked about Jesus. When you showed up on Tuesday, I was still talking about Jesus. When you heard me in revival, I was preaching on Jesus. When I was the keynote speaker at the banquet, I talked about Jesus. When I was featured at the Seven Last Words, I talked about Jesus. When I was invited to speak on the platform, even at an ecumenical function, I did not digress. I still lifted up the name of Jesus. He said, I know no other person to talk about. In fact, when I wrote the letter to the Roman church, I said it like this. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believed, to the Jew first and to the believer, to the Greek also. And when I wrote to the church of Galatia, I said, if anybody preaches any other gospel other than what I've already told you, let him be accursed. He said, my issue with them is that I had preached the gospel, and as soon as I left, they seemed to backslide. And I wanted to know, how is it that you are so quickly removed from the gospel that I spoke to you about? He said, there is no other gospel. And I just want somebody in the house to know there is no other gospel. The reason why I say keep on preaching Jesus is because we're living in a day when everybody's rising up challenging the word of the preacher. Amen, amen. We used to live in a day when it was either or, where people either believed or they did not. But we're living in a pluralistic society. It's no longer the fact that whether or not people believe. The problem is they believe everything. And so people are coming to church with the Bible and the horoscope. With the Bible and the Quran. With the Bible and the Book of Mormon. With the Bible and roots. With the Bible and a rabbit's foot. With the Bible and a four-leaf clover. Come on, come on. They're coming with the Bible and Buddhism. New Age movement. They're coming with the Bible and Beyonce. The Bible and Kanye. Uh-huh. They're coming with the Bible and their own interpretations of scripture. And now they're suggesting that there are no absolutes. And Jesus is not the way, but perhaps he's a way. Because not only are you their pastor, but Pastor Oprah is their pastor. And she has taught them to remember their spirit, but excludes Jesus, the one who made the spirit. And you can remember your spirit, but leave the one who is spiritual really out. And now everybody's spiritual, but nobody wants Jesus. And what makes it bad is we got a whole lot of church folk that are spiritual, but don't want Jesus. Nobody don't want Jesus, because in order to deal with Jesus, you got to deal with sin. You got to deal with sin. You know why? Because Jesus died for sin. And I know this is a Baptist church, but preacher, you need to tell them every time you get a chance, he died for sin. Because I got sinners in my church. I said again, I got sinners in my church. It's mighty quiet in here. Let me tell you, you're sitting next to one right now. They may be dressed up. They may be looking good. They may have praise dance. They may get their little shout in. But when you ain't looking, baby, they ain't nothing but sinners saved by God's grace. Do I have a witness in that? I'll say it again. There's sinners up in here. But the prayer, the blessing is we're covered by the blood of Jesus. Now, I know we're sinners because we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And we might have been saved a long time, but you ain't been right the whole time you've been saved. Come on, somebody. You still know how to cuss. You still know how to run somebody down. You still know how to gossip. You still know how to cut somebody up with your looking eyes. You can dress them better than the Undertaker with your mouth. Talk to me, somebody. We still got sinners in the church. And every now and then, if you're going to talk about Jesus, you got to talk about sin, because the record says he died for sin. Died for sin. We want to make it palatable and nice because we want to be politically correct. We don't want to offend anybody, so we don't talk about sin anymore. Everybody got issues. Yeah, over in California, Los Angeles, all y'all got issues. Plane full of folk with issues. And all of us got issues. Don't nobody have sin no more. Because see, if we only have issues, that means you go see a psychiatrist or a counselor and you talk about how to deal with your issues, and you never confess nothing and you never repent and turn away from anything. Because issues are something you work through, not cast off. When you talk about sin, you got to cast off the works of darkness. And you got to repent and turn from your sin. It's still true. If my people, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You mean we got some wicked ways? You better believe it. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive your sin, and I'll heal the land. They'll talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus, got to talk about sin. Talk about sin, you got to talk about repentance. We ain't good on repenting. We don't like to repent. Repent means we have to turn. There's some stuff we still like to do. Want to do. And we live in a culture now that doesn't want to be challenged by the word or anything else. We live in a culture that wants to be massaged. And now everybody's taping everything we say, so if we mess around and say the wrong thing, it's on Facebook before you can give the benediction. And so now preachers are trying to tiptoe because they don't want to offend anybody. But I'm here to tell you, if you're going to be God's preacher, you know, Jesus had an offensive ministry. Now, listen, you got to look at the ministry. Jesus didn't really offend sinners. The folk that got offended were the church folks. You know why? Because they were cloaked in hypocrisy. And wonder why Jesus hung out with sinners and drunkards and gamblers. And when Mary Magdalene washed his feet with her tears and hair, he said, if he's really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman that is. And Jesus looked at them and even his own disciples and said, y'all crazy. Don't you know that the sick are the ones who need the doctor? The well don't need a doctor. I didn't come for the well. I came to seek and save them that are lost. You know that real sinners want to hear the truth. Y'all don't believe me, do you? When Carlton Pearson started preaching that message that there is no hell, he said he was amazed that people left his church. So I'm on television. He said he was shocked that they walked away. And I said, yes, even sinners want to go to hell hearing the truth. I mean, some folk know the truth when they hear it. And when you start preaching something that is not the truth, folks say, hey, look, we got to get out of here, babe. I know we're shacking, but we can't sit up here and listen to this foolishness. Because he's going to make us think our shacking is all right with God. And we know better than that. We just shacking because we want to get married. But listen, if we're going to church, we're at least going somewhere where they're going to tell us, get right, sinner. Get right. I mean, I can't leave church not feeling nothing. We've got to declare the word of God. And guess what? When you preach that word and talk about real issues, when the word hits us, people need to be drawn to repentance. We're getting ready to move to Easter, and Easter Sunday is not about what we put on. Easter Sunday is the celebration of the fact that on Good Friday, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of Christ. That Jesus died in our place, for us and in our place. And through him we live, breathe, and have our being. That he took upon himself my lying and my cheating and my backbiting and everything that I think about doing. He became so that me, a sinner, could have access to the throne of God. And so when I celebrate next week, I don't celebrate next week thinking about what I'm going to wear. Because God is not impressed with our fabulous outfits. He's looking for a change of the heart. Because you can be dressed up on the outside and still wicked on the inside. You can be matching on the outside but broken on the inside. You can look flawless on the outside but hurting on the inside. And Shiloh, is there anybody in this church that's sick and tired of faking it till you make it? Is there anybody that wants to really be whole, wants to really be set free, wants to really have joy, wants to really have some peace, wants to really come to worship and clap your hands for real and come to worship and lift your hands because you've really been set free? Is there anybody in this house that wants a real encounter with the Lord Jesus? As old as you are, you've been living too long to fake it another day. You need to look up and down your row and say, I don't care what y'all think about me. I don't care what you say. This time I'm going for mine. I know they say we don't cry here, but I'm crying today. I know they say we don't run here, but I'm running today. I know they say we don't lay on the altar, but I got to lay out today. Why are you laying out, mother? Because if you've been through what I've been through, then you'd understand my praise. Gotta preach Jesus because Jesus gives hope. I say he gives hope. Jesus gives hope for a better life. He gives hope. He changes. He transforms. He gives the metamorphosis. He tells somebody that mistake you made yesterday doesn't define you. Hallelujah. Jesus reminds us of the vine that was in the vineyard that bore no fruit. And the caretaker said, cut it down. But the gardener said, let me work with it one more year. Give it more time. And then after that, if it produces no fruit, we can cut it down. Thanks be unto God, he gave us another chance. Anybody glad about that this afternoon? I said I wasn't going to preach all day. If you got an amen, throw it in right there. Anybody glad that he's a God of another chance? Anybody glad he woke you up this morning? Anybody glad that while you were asleep, no fire broke out, no thief broke in? Anybody glad that all night and all day the angels been watching over you? He did that so that you could have another chance. Come on, church, and while you have another chance, you ought to lift him up. That's what Paul said. I preach nothing but Jesus. No matter what, I'm going to keep on preaching Jesus. And if people can't see him, that's because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. He said, but I'm going to keep on preaching. And preaching ain't easy. Sometime I go through some hell and high water. I see some preachers all around, and some of you are going to be pastors, and some of you want to be pastors, and some of you have great anointings on your lives, and some of you think you got great anointings on your life. Some of you got a few people that's been in your ear, and they've been telling you you're just as good as, or better than. They are a liar and the devil too. And if you believe that, you're setting yourself up for some difficult days ahead. How difficult are they? I'm glad you asked. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. And he said, God has been so gracious until he put in this clay vessel a treasure. I'm a broken, messed up somebody, but God invested in me a heavenly treasure. He gave me the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he sealed my soul with the power of the Holy Ghost. Do I have a witness in the house? And so every time I get a chance, I want to lift him up. Do I have a witness in the house? I said, every time I get a chance, I want to lift him up. I know people are going to come in looking for you to give this kind of treaty and that kind of statement and that kind of declaration. But remember, more than anything, you are a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is he died for sin, was buried in the grave, but on the third day he rose. This is the gospel that we preach. And don't change the script. You don't have to figure out what to preach. Just keep on preaching Jesus. Jesus in the morning. Jesus at noonday. Jesus in the evening. If they get tired of hearing it, let them walk on out the church. Because when somebody walks out, God will send somebody else in. And they'll need to hear the name of Jesus. Do I have a witness in the house? One Friday, y'all know the story. They led him to Calvary. They nailed him to an old rugged cross. And in my mind, while they whipped him on Thursday, nothing happened. And while they nailed him, nothing happened. And when they put the crown of thorns on his head, nothing happened. But then after they nailed him to that old rugged cross, they began to lift up that cross. And I heard Jesus say to himself, uh-oh, they're in trouble now. They must have forgot that I said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Is there anybody in this house that's willing to help me lift Jesus? Can I get somebody to help me lift him? Clap your hand and help me lift him. Pat your feet and help me lift him. Shout if you wanna and help me lift him. How many of you know he's worthy? I said he's worthy. He's worthy of all of our praise. Look up and down your row and see if you're sitting on a praise row. Look at your neighbor, and if they act like they don't want to praise him, then declare yourself the designated praiser. That means if nobody will praise him on my row, I'll represent my row. I don't know about you, but he's been good to me. Yeah, he brought me from a mighty long ways. Yeah, he's been good. I said he's been good. He blessed me in the city. He blessed me in the field. He blessed me coming out. He blessed me coming in. He blessed my down sitting. He's blessed my uprising. In fact, every time I turn around, the Lord is blessing me. Can I get a witness? And since he's been so good, I owe him my best praise. I owe him my best hand clap. I owe him my best hallelujah. I owe him my best. Thank you, Jesus. I owe him my best dance. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Yeah. Jesus, high five somebody and tell him he's real good. He's gooder than good. He's better than good. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all he can ask or think. Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, J-U-S-U-S, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, living he loved me, dying he shamed me, buried he carried my sins far away, but rising he justified, freed me forever. One day he's coming back, shout yeah, shout yeah.